The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, KNSN, DJRD Broadcasting, Crawford Media Group, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody! Coming up on today's experience, Dr. Dave's Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDDDs, where my daily devotions become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but the Bible teaches there's a time to laugh. The review of the goofy news, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use, probably won't if we sit on our blessed assurance. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. My name is Dr. David Spoon, and I will be your host for the next 5,400,000 milliseconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. We have no idea what's going to happen, and we don't care. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk love with you. So here we go. We're asking questions about living life as a Christian. That thingy right there. Here it is. Here's a good one. Ooh, a challenging one. Have you connected with the people that you are praying for? Some people, we pray for them at a distance, I understand. But have you connected or reached out, double-checked, see how they're doing? Have you connected with the people that you've been praying for? Hey, if you've got an opinion, a comment, a thought, or a question, please don't let it die of loneliness. All you got to do is give us a call. I know it's a phone, but it probably won't hurt you. All you got to do is dial 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob, man, that's like spending time relaxing and chillaxing.
Aww.
What do you got?
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
That's good. That's good. Now you got this.
Me and forgetting
the days.
You
weren't sure on Tuesday. You hit Wednesday. You nailed that just out of the park. But now Thursday, you're like, Thursday?
Before the show, I got to have a note and just stick it to the front of the computer on what day it is.
It is this day today. All right, folks, here's how it goes. You know you can reach out to us by phone, and we want you to. It's cool. It's not hard. You don't have to have a perfect voice. You don't have to do anything perfectly. The first time I did radio, the sales manager at the organization I was with said, I will never sell a single show for this guy. Turned out to be one of my best friends. It just tells you, you never know what the Lord's going to do, right? That's number one. So you can call us. You can also text us. It's very safe. You can text 214-210-8483. You don't get on any list or anything weird. 214-210-8483. I'll say it again with a non-professional voice.
214-210-8483.
You know, that non-professional voice sounds an awful lot like NPR. Anyhow, also you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, that's my name, at the A with the goofy thing around it, hemustincrease.org from John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease. That's what the ministry is based on. It's called the David Spoon Experience, but it all sits under He Must Increase Ministry, in case you've ever wondered how that connection works. Here's how it's going to go. If you want to reach out to us because you've got a praise report, do it. If you have an opportunity to share something that the Lord has done in your life, do it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. When God puts your feet upon a rock and puts a new song in your heart and other people hear it, they trust the Lord. That's a good thing, right? If you've got a prayer request because you need faith, because you got something going on, you need other people praying for you, great. Get in touch with us. We'll pray with you. We'll do our best. People are like, well, what if the people don't go to your church? What if they have a different denomination? Wada, 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 wada. The only thing I can think about wada is Whataburger. Here's what you got to remember, okay? We have the same Heavenly Father. We are blood relatives through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we drink from the same Holy Spirit. And the scripture commands us to keep the unity, not to find the unity. So let's get on board. Whether you're from one edge or another edge on the body, it's still under the head of Christ. And so we take care of one another and we love one another because that is what the scriptures command us to do. So for those that do not know, if you're in San Diego, it's 11:37. If you're in Dallas, it's 1:37. And we've already determined if you're on the moon, we don't know what time it is because they don't have a linear time system, so you can't really tell. Ha! That's true for all the planets. Ha ha! That's how it goes. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. We want to pray for our brother Ace, who called in yesterday. We also want to pray for Remy, who's doing better. So this is a young lady that we've prayed for, a young girl that we've prayed for a couple of days ago. We're going to pray for the Lord to continue to move upon her. Her update is she's doing better. And that, see, that kind of thing that you hear that, it's like, that's progress. And you think, well, how do you know it's from prayer? I got a better question for you. How do you know it isn't? Oh, sorry. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to lift it up before the Lord. Take your faith, put it with mine. Let's take all our faiths and combine them together, and let's bring it before the Lord because faith pleases God. Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you. We praise you. We acknowledge you. There is nobody like you. Nobody. You are so awesome. In all of our stupid, you still love us. I don't even know how you do it. You're just awesome to us. You're so kind and compassionate. And Lord, we, as your kids, come before you. We want to thank you that Remy is doing better, and we just ask you to keep moving upon her little body and get her well. Let her parents and the people connected to her have a peace. We just lift her up before you, Lord. Touch this young little girl. And we're also praying for our brother Ace. He's like a standard bearer. He's like one of our pillars. We ask you to touch our brother. Just bring healing into his body. Bring healing so that his heart, his body, his condition can be strengthened. And we ask this, Lord, not because we think we're anything, but because we know you are everything. And so we pray for these people. We ask you to touch them. We ask you to be Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, that you teach us in Exodus 15:26, and heal these two and everybody else in our audience who's just hurting. Lord, put the balm of Gilead on their hearts and let them know you're with them. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, let's rock and roll. For those that do not know, oh, this is going to be heavy duty. You know how you got some batteries and they're light and some batteries are really, really small? Like if you have a battery for a watch, it's a really small battery. And then you have those enormously huge batteries that go in those really big lights, you know, from the days of old from camping and stuff. This is going to be the huge battery stuff. We're in 2 Corinthians. We are in chapter 11 and we are in verse 14. It is not for the faint of heart. Here is what the apostle writes under the verbal plenary process of the Holy Spirit guiding him what to write. Verbal plenary means that he did not lose his personality, but communicated that which God wanted him to communicate to the people. Here's what it says in verse 14. We'll pick it up actually from verse 13, because I don't want you to miss this. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ, and no wonder. For Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. You know, I'm just going to lay this out real carefully. The common depiction of Satan is in a red suit, and he's got, you know, horns, like horns on his head, kind of like a Batman thing. He's got a tail and a pitchfork, right? That's no more accurate than the picture of the last summer. By the way, Da Vinci wasn't there, okay? So that's an image that he thought might be accurate. These images make lasting impressions on our mind, but they don't represent biblical portrayal accurately, at least not necessarily. So let's clarify something right now so you can understand it and I can understand it and we can have a heads up in life. Satan does not appear and say, "Howdy, I'm here to ruin your life. That's my goal. First, though, I'd like to shake your hand and tell you what a pleasure it's been trying to destroy you." That is not what he does. He does not come and say, "Hi, it's me. I'm in a red suit, just here to ruin everything. Don't mind me. I'm just going to make life miserable." If Satan comes as an angel of light, then what we think Satan is going to portray himself as is going to be completely this opposite, this image that mankind, sinful mankind, has come up with. It's like Satan comes, he's sneaky. He's devious. He's camouflaged. He's operating in stealth. The thing about stealth is radar doesn't even pick it up. Whoa, that means we have to be on mark. We have to be on target. And Satan attacks us in so many ways. You think, well, now, Dave, he's not God. Nobody said he was God. He got kicked out of heaven. He can't leave earth without God's permission. He's stuck. He's God's flunky. Let's get it straight. But that doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's doing. And that doesn't mean after working with mankind from Adam and Eve on, he doesn't know how to push buttons. Of course he does. You think, well, I don't have to pay attention. Really, Jesus paid attention. If Jesus paid attention, maybe you should too. I find it much more discouraging when I hear people say, "I don't know what people are talking about, spiritual warfare." You see how good Satan really is? He's so sneaky they don't even know. Do you ever think, why is it we have to put on the armor of God every day? Because every day there's a war. Every day there's a fight. And when Jesus was teaching one of his many parables, when he was talking about the parables of the weeds being sowed in with the wheat, you know what he said? He said, an enemy has done this. One time I was driving up to do some work, and as I was driving and praying, I was like, I can't figure out what's going on. Why is this thing happening? I don't get it. And then the Lord reminded me of that parable and how an enemy had done this. And it dawned on me, hey, this is spiritual warfare. An enemy is doing this. And sometimes you go through things and the enemy is the one who's doing it. And yes, he's real. If he's not real, Jesus is a liar. Pick. You don't get to, well, I believe in Jesus, I don't believe in Satan. Well, then you don't believe in Jesus because Jesus taught 31%, I think, if it's not, on evil, on darkness, on sin, and on Satan. He talked more about darkness than anything else. That's right. Well, except for heaven. Heaven is the number one. But here's what I want you to catch. The enemy attacks, and he doesn't quit, and he looks for weaknesses, and he looks for, get this, openings. When Jesus said the enemy is coming, he has nothing in me, it meant there was nothing in the life of Jesus that Satan could utilize to manipulate or take advantage of. And some of us, we do really well in some areas, and then there's a couple other areas, there's a little bit of opening there. Hey, if there's an opening, the enemy will take advantage. And we need to understand that. And instead of, you know, acting like, oh, well, it's no big deal, it is a big deal. Satan is involved in the destruction not just of countries while you're watching your very own country swirl around like a toilet. He also attacks marriages, people individually, collectively. He attacks at all levels. He tries to create division between husband and wife, between children and parents, between siblings. His goal is to separate, is to divide. His goal is to push people aside and weaken them and have them be on their own. He actually wants Christians to be lone wolves because then they'll be easy prey for him to pick off. It's like, uh-oh. We need to be up on this stuff. We need to be aware of this stuff. And it's a very important concept. It's like, you know, the scripture is very, very clear. In every book, there's some reference in some capacity. We need to be on alert. And it's not just for people that we engage with. It's with ourselves. It's the stuff we let in our own lives. It's the stuff that we promote in our own lives that we don't tell anybody. That's what the enemy takes advantage of. So listen to what he says. And now think about what I've just said and think about what Paul's saying and listen to the depth. I mean, his words are just 1,000 times, 100,000 times brighter and wiser than mine. But listen to what I just said and listen to what he's saying now. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. Not just the demons, but Satan himself. We're not even talking about demons yet. We're talking simply about Satan, and he comes off like, I'm good. This is a good thing. That's why the righteousness of man works, not the wrath of God. And man establishing his own righteousness appears to be a good thing. It's not a good thing because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is the only thing that saves us, and Satan is trying to put a substitute. The righteousness of man. That's why we're woke. That's why we're PC. That's why you're full of sin. That's what that is. And Bella, he doesn't have any reservation. It's verse 15. It's not surprising that his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. That's not a good thing. They're coming off like people that are like, oh, we're righteous. We're one of you. And it's people are like, well, no. If they're in the church, they're good. That is not what the scripture says. There's many people that go to church that don't know the first thing about Jesus. That's why the gospel should be preached in the church and not just in gospel outreaches. It should be preached in the church all the time. Because for those that believe, we need to be reminded of the power of the gospel. And for those that really don't know Jesus, it might click one time. Get that? All right. Now, take a deep breath. Okay. Here we go. Get ready to do our trivia question. I can do that. I can teach that for a long time. That's the problem there. All right, here we go. Which disciple of Jesus had to see to believe? Which disciple of Jesus had to see to believe? Was that Thomas, Philip, or Peter? Was it Thomas, Philip, or Peter that had to see to believe? So I'm going to give you a chance to call in, text in, and all the other stuff, but then I'm going to send you the website. So even if you call in, you have to be on hold for a second. So if you want to call in, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website. You're thinking, why? Well, there's a bunch of reasons why. First, on the website are opportunities for you to have a prayer request or a praise report. You can fill it out. You can make it public, private. It's up to you. Plus, there's encouraging video, encouraging audio. There's encouraging articles. Plus, there is goofy stuff. We keep our schedule up there. You have access to 4,500 hours of podcasts. That's a lot. If you're really bored, there's a lot of stuff there. And we have an opportunity for you to give. Now, what we are excited about the giving, so I counted it today, there are four different ways to give. So you can give by credit card or by debit card through the phone. That has to happen after the show because it's got to come through me. You can do it by check and you send it here to the studio. You can give by PayPal. That's most people don't have a problem with that. But if you do have a problem, we have a new system. and it's called Donate Box. And in Donate Box, you can just give directly through it. It's super easy. The only thing you got to watch is it gives the receipt through email. So if you do that, you have to double check your spam. That's all there is for that one. But they're all available. You can put in whatever you want, right? I think we have a there's a $10 minimum because of the processing thing. I think there's a $10. Maybe it's a $5 minimum. Oh, it's $5 minimum. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you can give, great. If you can give but you can't, you don't want to give to us, give somewhere. Become a giver because the ministry of giving is important in the eyes of God. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. If you want to give and you give, great. If you don't, great. We love you no matter what. We're going to keep standing by you and doing our best to bless you because that's what we do. Our scripture for today, though, is Proverbs 3:3-9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Don't give God leftovers. And by golly, take care of home base. If you're going to church, you make sure you give to your church. And then if you have extra, we're right here. Unless the Lord puts it on your heart specifically, then we never argue with God because we figure out that's dumb. Anyway, check all this stuff out and the donate button if you want to on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
I'm sorry, that's funny. All right, once more on the trivia question. I find stuff like that just amusing in life. I don't know what it is. I just, you know, my wife can't stand. I'll find one line that I think is funny, and I'll play it on my television 30 times in a row. She'll be like, you just played this yesterday. It's like, I know, but it's still funny today. I don't know.
Are you the person when you watch a movie, you rewind it over and over again?
No, my bigger problem, I got a much bigger problem. I know people are going to say I'm being prideful. It's not. My wife will testify to this on a stack of Bibles. The worst part is whenever we watch like a mystery show, in the first 60, 90 seconds, I say, it's this person. And then I stop watching it. And my record is about 8.5 out of 10. It's pretty high. It's like, wow, it's really weird. All right, enough about me. Which disciple of Jesus had to see to believe? Is that Thomas, Philip, or Peter? You can reach out to us, 972-445-0770, 214-210-8483, or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Back to the text we go because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Here's what the text says. He says, so it's not surprising then, verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 11, it's not surprising that his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their actions. Then Paul says this, I repeat, let no one take me for a fool, but if you do, then receive me as a fool so that I too may boast a little. In this confident boasting of mine, I'm not speaking as the Lord would, but as a fool would. See, since many are boasting according to the flesh, I too will boast according to the flesh. For you gladly tolerate fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you or exploits you or takes advantage of you or exalts himself or strikes you in the face. To my shame, I concede we did not do that. Paul, this is the nicest way in the universe for Paul to say, I'm sorry we didn't abuse you. I'm sorry we were just trying to be nice. I'm sorry we were trying to just preach the gospel and tell you about Jesus. I'm sorry we just tried to love you the best we could without being a burden to you. I'm sorry we didn't, get ready, here it is, manipulate you. Any leader that works under the power of manipulation is just not a leader. It's a charlatan when they have to manipulate. Get that? That's what Paul's saying. Right, we do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question, so we'll give them that opportunity to do so. Let's go ahead and send them through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Oh, this is a guy from Kansas.
Hey, brother. You got to turn the radio down.
Yeah, Dorothy wasn't there, so I said I'll be there.
Okay. All right. Dorothy, she was not in Kansas anymore. So therefore, which disciple of Jesus had to see to believe? Was it Thomas, Philip, or Peter?
It was Thomas.
It was Thomas! That is correct! Who then, of course, got saddled with the forever doubting Thomas, which, you know, when you get to heaven, you won't be saying that because he'll be there, but you'll be just thinking in the back of your mind, doubting Thomas. Oh, yeah, I remember you.
Well, actually, your mind will be renewed, so you would not remember the silly thing.
Anyway, how are you, bro?
Good.
Good. Good. I'm glad to hear that. You're still praying for people? You're specifically praying for which thing now? I think you were talking about
cancer. Yeah, this month is a heart and cardiovascular disease.
Awesome. You want to pray for people right now?
Sure.
Do it. Let's go.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus, that you're a good God and you're our God, and we love you, we praise you, and we ask you to be with us, and let's touch each and every person, those who have any heart issue or cardiovascular, Lord. We just speak your name, the mighty name of Jesus, our Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. So, Lord, heal each and everybody. And, Lord, on their next appointment with their doctors, the doctor will find nothing and even say, hey, you don't need to be on a medication because you are something happened. So, Lord, we know that you are a miracle-working God, and a healing is a bread for your children. So, Lord, we ask our daily bread of healing for each and every children of God, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for touching us and healing us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you are in San Diego, hang out with us by going to HeMustIncrease.org. If you're in Dallas, don't go anywhere. We're going to take a short break, then come back.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
All right, Psalm 46, verse 1 through 3. This was the first psalm that was read to me when I went to Bible college, the very first class I ever took in Bible college, a bazillion years ago. Let me just say that. Psalm 46, 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their suffering. Here is something to consider that will be just absolutely a mind blower. How should you and I respond if the earth falls out of its rotation? Okay, so my brother-in-law works for JPL and is actually one of the people that helped write the program that helped land the Mars rover on Mars. He helped write the computer programming, okay? He's much smarter than me in those realms. Okay, about my age, a little younger, about my age. Very, very intelligent guy, right? And he's the one I always make a joke, you know, what keeps the Earth, you know, rotating. And so you'll hear me say that it's on a perfect 23.5 degree, rotation from the moon and from the exact rotation from the sun, or it's three mice chasing a piece of cheese in a wheel, one of those two. So the idea behind that and that whole story is the Earth is in this absolutely perfect rotation with the moon and the sun, and without it, the Earth would go through a free fall. Just even a half a degree off, it's over. It's all over. I mean, there'd be instant tidal waves. Everything would just be upside down. And if that ever happened, you know, you would know that's the end, although that's not how the end's going to happen. We already know from Scripture. But here's what the psalmist is saying. It doesn't matter how bad it gets. It doesn't matter if your world seems like it's upside down. It doesn't matter if it's out of rotation. It doesn't matter if the mountains fall into the sea. It doesn't matter if the waters roar. God is a refuge, and a refuge is a shelter in a storm. You would first think of a lean-to. That is what a shelter in a storm is. So when it's raining, you find a lean-to, you put something on a tree, you put it against something else, and you get under it so you're away from that. And it says that God is a refuge, a strength, an ever-present help, which means he's helpful today, not just when it's all settled in eternity. And there lies a problem for some Christians is they keep thinking, well, in the sweet by and by, everything will get worked out. Well, that is true, that everything will be completely worked out in the sweet by and by. But God is an ever-present help, which means for today and not just for tomorrow. And then the position of the psalmist is, Therefore, in other words, it's a conclusion. So God is our refuge and strength, okay? So he's our lean-to in a storm. He's our ever-present help. Therefore, I don't have to be afraid.
The David Spoon Experience.